Mother's Day, it's a great day. For the mothers who raise their children in church, I am sure that you're so proud that your children are here with you today. I feel like my mother is probably very happy that I have given as much attention to the church, even while she was living, but have continued to do so. I had a surprise when I started to leave the Barker building and come to the church. My family, that wasn't going to come because they had to stay home with their dog, was out in the parking lot this morning. So I was really surprised and very happy to see y'all here. This is a song that Clint selected to be sung, and it is it's more of a story being told. And so I hope that you enjoy it. I Have Returned. Knew, like the prodigal son, I have longed for my loved ones, for the comforts of home, and the God I outgrew. I have returned.
I did fall.
son I learned, as I've worked my way homeward, the Savior of all is a comfort to man. I have returned
a little bit differently today. We're going to the book of Philippians. After revival, if you would like to come back, we will begin that series again. But tonight, look at me, how long has it been? Today, we will be in 2 Timothy, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Second Timothy, chapter 1. Today is a special, I wouldn't say special, it's a bit different for Rebecca and I. Normally, for the past several years, my mother has traveled to come up to be with us on Mother's Day. She's not here this year. I think that's because my brother has taken the favorite child award. But we fight over that constantly, so fingers crossed I'll have it next year. Also, my wife is here. She's in the nursery today. She had intended to be with her mother, but she got sick, and so she wasn't able to be. And so for the first time, for a very long time, neither of us are with our mothers on Mother's Day. And so it's kind of a bittersweet. We're celebrating them, and even though that they are distant from us, we love on them, and we'll call them and let them know. But it's something about being close to them that was really special that we're just not going to be able to experience this year. This week is also a very special week for Beck and I, more so than just Mother's Day. Not only are we celebrating Mother's Day, but we are also celebrating our 10-year anniversary this past week. And so that was very special. And so it's okay. I'm fine with that. One of the few good things I've ever done in my life was marry that woman. And so please applaud. That is a wonderful, she's a wonderful lady. But with Mother's Day and our 10-year anniversary and her birthday coming up, it's just been a week where I just reflected, where I really thought about her and about the sacrifices she has made in my life. And listen, she married me, so there's a big sacrifice right there. I mean, it's out there in the open. No applause right there. That is not the time to applaud. But as I was thinking about how wonderful a woman she is and how caring of a mother I have, and her mother I happily and willingly call her mom. She calls me son. And it's an amazing relationship. A mother and a child. And I have preached several messages. Matter of fact, I had a request to preach the same message I preached last year about the biddies and about how God being our mother. Well, sadly, I will not be preaching that message. But Lord had placed it on my heart to do this text. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would, please stand for the reading of His Word. We're going to use just three verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," Paul talking to Timothy, He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou shalt stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It all starts with Mom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the ability to preach and stand before your people today. Lord, may you bless the reading of your word, and may it be strong and chiseled upon our hearts that we may not forget. In Jesus' holy name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Let's look at this first verse real quick. 2 Timothy, shame on me. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 5, it tells us, for when I call the remembrance of an unfeigned faith that is in thee. I can see Paul as he's writing this letter and he's encouraging Timothy. Timothy has taken the pastorship and he has felt like he is not suited. He's too young. There's a lot that is inquired of him to be the leader, the spiritual leader of this group of believers. And Paul is writing unto him and trying to encourage him in this understanding. He says, listen, I see this unfeigned faith in you. Now, that doesn't mean much to anybody unless we understand what that word means. I personally was raised in southern Alabama, so when you say words like unfeigned, I have no idea outside. I go, uh-huh, yeah, I get it. I really don't. I just shake my head. I like Abraham Lincoln's, he made a phrase, he says, it is better to remain silent and people to think that you're the dumbest man in the room than to open your mouth and relieve all doubt. And so you just, uh-huh, shake your head and say, uh-huh, I understand. I know what unfeigned is. Well, unfeigned actually in the original, going back to the Greek inside of this, is actually an interesting word because it is an empty word. It starts with A. In the Greek language, if anything starts with A, it means the opposite of what is about to be said. And so when it was this understanding, this construct, it means to be without pretending, to be sincere, to be without acting. So it literally means through the faith that you have means it's a real faith. If there was one thing that I have preached and I have constantly preached since I've been here, and I want us to always have this in our mind, is that we are in a place as a group of believers that this is a reality that can happen, that where we put on the fake. And Paul is saying, listen, I know that you're real. I know that you're sincere in your faith. I know that your mother and your grandmother had sincere faith. I saw it. They were not pretending. They were not acting. When they prayed, they meant it. When they went to church, it was no further reason than they wanted to spend time with God. It wasn't a social experiment. It wasn't a time of gathering. It wasn't a fellowship. It was an act of worship. In case you didn't know it, we're here today for an act of worship. We painted under the guise of an act of honor for our mothers, but our mothers are here and you're here for them because we want to worship God and respect them. Listen, this is a masterpiece of a text. It is one of the most wonderful things to say here and say when it all started with your mother and your grandmother. It means a lot, and there's a lot of context that is wrapped in the background of these texts, which we mentioned last week. There's a lot of subtext that you kind of need to know to understand the interesting parts of this. First thing I want us to talk about is that faith cannot be imparted, but it can be inspiring. We talked about this not too long ago in our Wednesday night classes. I can't give you faith. I wish I could. I wish it was something like candy. I'd pass it out every Sunday. I wish that faith was something that you could just willingly give people because there was an ample supply. And I wish that faith was so easily transitioned between someone who has it into someone that needs it. But I'm here to say this, it's not that easy.
I wish it was. I wish that I could give faith. I wish that my son and my daughters, I could just say, this is faith. Hold on to it and keep it. Never let it go. Wear it upon your shoulders like a coat, and don't let the world hit you so hard that where you lose it. I wish it was something that could be given, but it's not. Here in these texts, we see these two women that are actually given over to him. Let's see what it says. It says, and I call to remembrance something that he has forgot. He says, I want you to bring this up, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am also persuaded that it is in thee also. You see, Timothy has a tendency to worry about his problems and not recognize why he's there. If you have faith this morning, I want you to know something. Somebody suffered really hard to inspire you, to make that faith take root. Because see, it's something to be just throw out a seed. It's another thing to till the soil and water it and nurture it and to make something grow out of the ground, out of the hard and rocky ground, so that it will produce something. It has to be tended. And his grandmother and his mother did an amazing job in his life to make sure that his faith was not fake, that he was not acting, that he was not pretending, that it was real and genuine. And there is nothing more that I think is more difficult in a Christian life than to make a faith act or present it as something that is genuine and sincere. Anytime you hear somebody pray, it's always going to come off as something that's not natural because it's a supernatural thing. You're talking to a deity. Anytime you have a communion with other believers and you have a spirit that rests upon a membership just like this, it is something that's special and it feels abnormal, almost as if it's fake. It's not, because we are sincere. It needs to be sincere. And communicating that is difficult. But there's, like I mentioned, there's a subtext here that's kind of indifferent. Or matter of fact, it's understood inside of the way that the Bible's written. That the father is not present. He more than likely had passed away. If you look and it says that the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice, it's the markers of his faith. Well, that was the man's job, the father's job, to strengthen him. Not just in Hebrew culture, but in Jewish culture, but in other many cultures, the man was the one that was responsible for uplifting and steadying his family. In a belief system, in a working spiritual format, it was his job. And putting these two women up on the pedestal and showing them, hey, you have an unfake faith because of these two women, helps us to realize this, that he did not have a father figure in his life. Now listen, and I'm going to bring up another text here shortly that talks a little bit about his dad, but I want you to understand something. This text speaks to the people who do not have dads. That may not be everybody in this room, but I'm here to tell you this. Just because you didn't have a daddy doesn't mean that you don't get to throw out all your problems and say, well, I'm a bad person because I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a spiritual mentor. I didn't have these things. It's no excuse. Because you can find somebody. There's a grandmother, there's a mother, there's a neighbor, there's a friend that is always there in our lives, especially in this culture. I know that Christianity is not what it's like to. Everybody shake your head if you're understanding me, you're talking to me. I know Christianity is not like it was 40 years ago, but there's not a soul in this room that there hasn't been a Christian in our lives to influence us. There's not been a hero of the faith that we look to and aspire to. And there's nothing wrong with heroes. And we'll get to that in a second. But I want you to recognize that these two women invested their lives into Timothy. You want to know how to make a difference in Christianity? You want to know how to let the kingdom to grow? You invest your lives in other people.
and to make sure that they recognize that it's sincere and genuine and not fake, not pretend. You're not acting. I know I've told this story on a few times, but not here recently. I'll never forget this moment in my life. It was one that shook me to the bones, and I thought my entire life was a lie. I remember we were at a family reunion. What a time to shake your life, right? And in South Alabama, that means just pretty much everybody in the neighborhood. No, but we were at this family reunion. I remember we were by Lake Eufaula, and we were all having this great time, wonderful time. We were playing family reunion games and doing all kinds of whatnot and silly stuff. And I thought everything was great. And the minute all four doors of the car were shut, my dad lost it. I didn't even know what I did wrong. And I was like, where was that man 5 minutes ago? Where was he? Why is it that everybody saw the fun, the laughing, the good, and then behind closed doors, I see everything that's not? Listen, reality needs to match what's been done in private. What's done in public needs to be done in private. It needs to be a reality. Your faith needs to be here right now, the person that you are, the attentive to the Word of God, the singing and the joy that comes with being around God's people needs to be the exact same as when it is in private. Because if it's not, you're not going to be able to transfer a sincere, non-fake faith to the next generation. We're real quick to recognize hypocrites. Are we not? We're real quick to recognize. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be perfect, but I am saying that this, we have to recognize that we're not perfect. We've got to be willing to apologize. We've got to be willing to humble ourselves in the midst of other people and say that this is right.
Not only was his dad not involved, and these two women entrusted their faith into this young man. Look at this verse in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. It says, Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain of the disciples was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, who is the guy we're talking about today, and the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a, say it with me. Now, I don't know how much you know about Jewish culture, but half-breeds were not looked on as very happy. That's what they called them. Half-breeds. They would actually push them away, and they would be less of a dog. They would say, I don't want nothing. You took something that was pure, and you weakened it. Thank the Lord we don't believe like that anymore. Amen? Matter of fact, you have the very same problem happened with, you know where God stands on it, is because Moses married somebody outside of his culture, and he blessed Moses for it, and cursed his sister and his brother for saying that it was wrong. You see, Paul did a wonderful thing, and he saw this young boy raised up by two godly women. And the rest of the culture around him wouldn't even talk to him, wouldn't allow him into the schools and teach him Jewish culture. Given, y'all understand the background now, that's why he didn't have anybody that taught him that his unfeigned faith was by two women, is because the rest of the culture said, I don't want anything to do with him. But yet Paul said, you know what? He's got something. He's got a faith like I haven't seen in anybody else, because it's true and it's real. And it all began with mama, and it all began with grandma. Because they were willing to invest their lives when nobody else would. Y'all know this as well as I do. There is no kind of love like a godly mother's love. Now, I'm going to pause and say this, and this is why I hate preaching on topics like this on special occasions. Not everybody has a good mama. Matter of fact, I know several people who were without good mamas and they're growing up. And listen, you can be a good godly Christian without a daddy, and you can be a good godly Christian without a godly mama.
I know without a shadow of a doubt that this individual, Timothy, as he was living out his life, and he had these two women to be a part of his life and to show him what it meant to have faith, must have been an incredible part to who he was in his life. That is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and thy mother. What an amazing thing that every meal, every day, rested on faith. I don't know. I wrote this down because I think it applied a lot to me. There is no short supply of gratitude in a situation like that. I know several of the testimonies of the people that are in this room. And I know one in particular that's very similar to this, where the youngest boy is the one that had to take on the responsibilities and provide for the family. Listen, this right here is real. Timothy knew what it meant to live by faith. It means a lot. I don't know why I did that. It means a lot. If we want to talk about faith cannot be imparted, but it can be inspiring, I want us to realize this. We may want what's best for our children for terms of ease of life, but they learn much more than we can give them credit for. How we endure our hardships, how we practice our faith at home, it imparts a special connection that cannot be separated from those that taught it to us. We will always be indebted to our heroes, our godly mothers, or the women and men of faith that we actually look to see that genuine faith make a difference in our lives. We'll never be able to separate our faith from them. Not something that we can give, especially with ease, but it can be inspired and given and made at sacrifice. Second thing I want to talk about is choosing what we remember can give us strength in our presence. The word remembrance here appears twice out of these three verses. Read back with me in verse 5 to verse 6. It says, "And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Then you go back to verse 6. He says, "Wherefore I would put thee in remembrance, that thou shalt stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." We see this remembering causes us to make this understanding. He says, "Hey, I want you to look back on your grandmother and your mother. And I want you to look at that faith, and I want it to make a difference. I want you to choose to look at these things." Now listen, I've told you about Timothy's upbringing. I told you about his past. I told you about all the difficulties that he has to face. It would be very easy, would it not, to be able to go in public and to say, you know, nobody really liked me growing up. I wasn't allowed in school. It'd be really easy to hold that. It would be really easy to hold back and say, well, I never had a daddy. It would be real easy to say, oh, but I was lived in a cross-cultural household. And there was tension and fighting. You could say many things about Timothy's upbringing. Matter of fact, later on you even see Paul, he convinces Timothy that he should be circumcised so that he could be able to preach both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Because nobody would accept him then either. His whole life involved about people who wouldn't accept him. He's taking this church and people wouldn't accept him there. And Paul is trying to encourage him and tell him, hey, you're doing a good job. How important is it for us to have these kind of people in our corner? To encourage us and to empower us and to tell us, hey, you're doing a good job. I know you're doing it for the right reasons and I know that you have good faith. What I love about this is that this is not something that's a once-in-a-time occasional scene mentioned in Scripture. It is a theme throughout all of it. Philippians chapter 4. He goes, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, say with me, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know what Paul was telling Timothy? Remember the good things about your mama. I know it was hard. I know it was difficult. Remember your grandma. Remember all the hardships that she had to face. And listen, and she endured and she went through it. And you can do it too. Remember these good things, Timothy, because, listen, we shall make it. Isn't that good to hear? As we're going through the book of Philippians, and I've said this to our church at the beginning of it, it's a feel-good book. It's a book that's a pat on the back. And listen, I understand how that can impact somebody's life, but man, do we need people like that in a book like that, and especially in a time like this, where we need to be reminded that there is good, and there are good people, and there are good mothers. And if I would just bear a chance to just praise our mothers at this church, thank you for being a good mom. Thank you for being a good, godly influence in your children's lives. It means the world. You may not see it now. All you may see is the struggle right now. The people who are despising you and your children. The fight of faith. How many of y'all know you've ever been through a storm in your life, and it seems like every time you have to pray over something, it becomes a burden? I'm sure his mom and his grandmother felt like that. To take the responsibilities on teaching and living out Timothy's life must have been a hardship that no one else should have ever had to face. Having heroes in our faith is not wrong. Lifting up people in our lives as Christian people, especially our mothers, it's not idols. They're not idols. But more so, if we would just lift them up and long to aspire and discipline ourselves to imitate and practice the attributes that put them there, that's what's important. Lastly, and I'll hurry along. I know y'all want to take your mother out to dinner. That was a joke, by the way. Feel free to laugh. Y'all have already cut me off. He was like, "Preacher, you're not supposed to be preaching this hard. It's Mother's Day." Christian character is such a high priority among our teachings. Not to prove ourselves to God or others, but because the long-lasting impact that it makes in people's lives. Like I said earlier, this week has been a week of reflection for me. And I've reflected over many things. And I am humbled at what my wife has done for our family. And I'm humbled at my mom. And my mom was not even a godly woman. She wasn't saved until I graduated high school and left for Bible college. As a matter of fact, the Sunday that they dismissed me to go to Bible college, it's the Sunday that she got saved. Now, I'm just going to say this. I did not like God that Sunday. I said, the one time I get to talk about godly things with my mother is the time that I'm leaving. The one time that I could have an honest, sincere prayer time with my mom. Now I've got to go. Listen, I was not happy about leaving. But I took it out on faith, and I knew that God wanted me somewhere. And I trusted in His wisdom about my mom growing her faith without me, and me growing my faith without her. My story does not represent this wonderful text. I'm here to tell you, your story may be different. But I tell you what, I still loved my mom. And I still see godly influences in her life, even when she was lost. Let me say that again, just in case you did not click that. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that I saw godly love in my mother when she was lost. She loved me to a fault. And listen, I gave her lots of faults. And I think that that's the most godly example of love that there can be. I remember at times then in my growing up and my raising that I would look to my mom and I would despise her and I would despise her wisdom and I would make it known. But yet she'd still be there to love me. I'm here to tell you this. If your story doesn't match up with 2 Timothy and his grandmother and his mother, that's okay. Because eventually you'll see it. You'll see what made the thing special in your life are all connected to God in some way or some fashion. You'll find out that the love, that the joy, that the good things that we think about are all connected to God's purity, to God's perfection in some way or another. What we lift up today is not just our mothers, but it's the God that we see in our mothers. What we lift up today and what we worship today. And listen, don't get me wrong. We do not worship women and we do not worship men. Can I get an amen? Amen. We can bring honor to whom honor is due, in which we will do that. We will honor our mothers. We will honor our fathers. We will honor the heroes that have come before us and tell them, I'm about to fall over, and tell them how much we love and appreciate them. But God is the only one who can make a difference. In this last verse, he tells us, he says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear and of power and of love and of sound mind. This spirit was imparted from his grandmother and his mother. And I want you to see things here just real quick. The spirit of power to overcome difficulties. Makes a lot more sense when you know Timothy's backstory, right? You also see a spirit of love. In spite of a community that wouldn't want anything to do with Timothy, they still love them, and they still love Timothy. And a spirit of a sound mind. My wife, like I said, and I can't help but talk about her. Y'all hired me, so y'all get to deal with it. When COVID happened, we had to make a decision to either homeschool or put in class, and we couldn't have felt with a gift if the preacher's kid gave somebody COVID and something terrible happened. We didn't want to pull that kind of a risk. So she began to teach. I have watched my kids grow in sound of mind and in love and in strength from when I could hold them. And granted, they're a lot bigger now than they were, but their size doesn't do anything for me. If anything, it makes me feel old. But seeing their love, seeing them grow in mind and in spirit, and wanting to pray for my neighbors and wanting to pray for my church members, listen, that's amazing to me. And that's all something that my wife has done. And she is an inspiration to me, much like our mothers in this church are an inspiration to us. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. As we move toward to a conclusion of our service, and I know that you're probably here with your mother. I know that your thoughts are drifting off to your mothers that have passed away, and you're thanking God for all the many things that has been done in your life. And maybe you're like me and your story doesn't match up, but yet you still recognize the good. You choose to remember the things that are joyous, the things that are good, the things that are of good report. If that's you today and God's spoken to your heart, if God has challenged you and you need that in your life, a help to focus. I'm here to tell you this. Now listen, I want you to be real closely, every head bowed, every eye closed. The only way to focus on that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's what your grandmothers did. It's what your mother and your father did. It is what your heroes of the faith did. they were drawn just like you in the flesh, and they wanted to go away, but they made a pact with themselves that they would look to Jesus for the answers. If that's you today, that you need Jesus and you need to be steered in the path that is good, would you raise your hand? I would like to be a good pastor and raise you. Thank you so much for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that. God bless you. Listen, this is nothing to be ashamed of. Listen, we need to be that, have that inspiration in our lives. Don't let this day pass and not let God pull you. Let's give it to Him. Our lives, our focus. Let's honor Him and the people in our lives that we see Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. We thank You for what You've done in our mothers' lives and our grandmothers' lives and our fathers and grandfathers. Lord, there are so many people that we look to as an inspiring that have raised us, not only in physical form, but also in spiritual, where they have invested their lives. Lord, we ask Your blessings to be upon them, and may You give them honor to where honor is due and bless them in ways that we can't. May You bless our mothers that are here today. What a wonderful feeling it is to worship You with them, to hold their hands, to hug their necks, to kiss them, and to say how much we love them is such a blessing. May we never let that go. Lord, may Your blessings be upon this service. As we close, may it bring honor to You. In Jesus' holy name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Brother George.